Welcome, everyone, to episode 11 of the Bon Bon Show. Today is August 24th, 2025. I have one of your hosts, Aaron. Today, we have a pretty hot show for you, so I'm looking forward to chatting with Kirk about this sweaty topic.
Oh my God. To my listeners, or to our listeners, I apologize for the terrible puns. Hello to our wonderful listeners, and you too, Aaron. This is episode 11 of the Bon Bon Show, and today we'd like to talk about summer in Jamaica, Canada, and Japan, plus a little bit of what we love or hate about summer.
Yes, sirree, summertime, full of a lot of shenanigans, I am sure, in both your country, Jamaica, mine, Canada, and then our shared love of Japan. So let's get into it, shall we?
Yes.
So, Kelroy, tell me what summer is like in Jamaica.
All right. So, I don't know. How do I say this? I don't know. I've been in Japan for a number of years now. Do I even still know what summer in Jamaica is like?
It's probably changed.
Yeah. Over the last 9 summers, I've spent 7 of them in Japan, and only 2 of them in Jamaica when I traveled back, and that was usually not for a very long time. But summer in Jamaica, I still think, is an awesome experience. It will be a bit different depending on, I guess, so many variables. Are you experiencing summer in Jamaica as a child, like my fond memories of summertime as a child in Jamaica? Are you a visitor traveling from overseas? Are you just like a regular worker, an adult? Are you living in the city, the countryside? As I said, it can be so much different depending on your experiences. But summertime in Jamaica means like school is out, lots of music, art, culture festivals. I know we have like Reggae Sunfest, which is a popular music festival that's happening. We have like the Dembe Agricultural Show, which is like a farming and livestock related show that I remember going to most of the summers by myself or with my family. And eventually I used to volunteer and work there. Culture festivals. Because we have 2 major public holidays, I would think the most important holidays in terms of as a country, Emancipation Day and Independence Day, is in the first week of August. So there's always a lot of, you know, like nationalism and just being excited to be Jamaican and celebrating all the achievements of our country. And, you know, the weather is usually quite perfect. In Jamaica during the summer, we do have like afternoon showers that usually last not more than a few minutes. But it's usually very warm, very nice, not as humid as Japan. I'll get into that. I don't know. I learned the meaning of humidity when I came to Japan. Like, it's insane. Like, in Jamaica, unless you're directly in the sunlight, usually you'd be fine. But in Japan, it doesn't matter where you are. You will burn. But anyway, more about Japan later. What else? Seasonal fruits, like mangoes and guineps. I think other countries call it different names, but guineps are also a big thing in Jamaica. How do I explain? It's like a green ball with a very thick skin. And then when you kind of break it open, there's this kind of very, I don't know, sweet fruit inside with a huge seed. I don't know if there's anything else I can think of. I'll probably show you a picture later. And for the listeners, just Google Guineps Jamaica, G-U-I-N-E-P-S. Jamaica, and you'll see like a picture. Maybe you can pull it up while we're chatting.
I'm looking at it right now. It's English, or like, we translated it to also, there's a lot of different words for it.
Yes.
One word is a Spanish lime.
Yes. It's very, it's popular all over the Caribbean and Latin America. And I feel like almost every country has a different name for it, I've learned. In Trinidad, it's something different. In Central America, in Spanish, in French, everybody calls it something different. But yeah, it's one of those very rare fruits that comes around just for a few weeks of the year. And it's like the marquee fruit of summer, I feel, in Jamaica.
I've never tried that.
You need to visit Jamaica, and let's change that.
Yes.
What else? Traveling overseas is usually a big thing, especially because of the summer holidays and kids going abroad to see family, or people from abroad coming to Jamaicans from abroad coming home during the summertime is also huge. I used to travel to the countryside when I was a kid to spend time with my family, especially my aunt. I used to go to a town called Colgate, which is like near Fern Gully, outside of one of the major resort towns called Ocho Rios. And yeah, that's actually one of the highlights of my childhood, you know, riding donkeys, fetching water at the well, climbing hills and valleys, and living in the countryside was like so different for me being like a city boy. So yeah, summer in Jamaica, good food, good energy, good people, especially kids. It's like amazing. I would say going to the beach and stuff, but going to the beach in Jamaica, you can do that 365 days of the year.
Oh, lucky you guys. Okay.
Yeah. And actually, I think the most popular beach day is actually the day after Christmas Day, Boxing Day. And I don't want to imagine going to the beach in Canada or Japan in December. That would be a death.
Nope. Wish. That's definitely not a thing anyone does.
So, yeah. That is like a quick synopsis of summer in Jamaica. So, Aaron, tell me about summer in Canada.
I think like Jamaica, like you kind of highlighted, especially with, you know, school out, we have our school out is at the same time. So yeah, I remember having June, July, or no, school gets out in June, sometime in June, usually it's like near the end. So you have July and August to just hang out and do stuff with your family. And as you get older, then, you know, your own traveling or working or whatever that looks like. And then, as you had mentioned, lots of festivals, lots of some main holidays, the main ones being here in Canada. July 1st is Canada Day. So ooh, that's usually a big one where there's like parades and fireworks, lots of gatherings in the neighborhoods or towns or cities and where people live. People will do like put on like pancake breakfasts and just lots of fun things going on that people like to engage in. And the next one that people like is, or that follows that one, is in August, which is usually the first Monday in August. It's called Heritage Day. Really, really big festival where I live in Edmonton called Heritage Festival.
That's what I want to do when I visit you. I have to visit in August so I can go to Heritage Festival in Edmonton.
Yeah, it's like takes place in a giant park. Usually the last couple of years that park's been under like a restoration, so it's been taking place somewhere else, but I think there's about 70 or so countries that are represented at this festival, and each country has a tent that you can go and visit, and they have a lineup of various foods that like they like to showcase so that you can go and taste, and
including Jamaica, have, like, I hope
Jamaica is there for sure. They're one of the bigger tents.
Yeah.
Some countries are smaller, some countries are bigger, depending on like how big their cultural association is. But regardless, they all do a lot of hard work to put on their tent and showcase their country, their food, their culture, their language, their tradition. So it's really fun to see all of the countries come together in one giant park, all working together and just enjoying something that brings people together, which is food and, music and a whole bunch of other things like that. So that's the other really big festival weekend in the summer. And then the last one, not so. I mean, it's nice to have a long weekend, but it's just Labor Day in September, so who cares about that one? But not as much to celebrate there. It's just a day off. But
Interesting. Your Labor Day is in September. I think in Jamaica it's in May. I need to double check that. But yeah, continue.
oh, okay. Yeah, I guess every country has it slightly different. The city that I live in, Edmonton, is known as like the festival city of Canada, like the capital, like I guess the city that hosts the most amount of festivals
Good.
in Canada. So pretty much as June starts, because summer is pretty short here. I mean, relative to other places, our summers will be like June, July, August, and then that's it. And then, as you head into September, you can get lucky and get a few warm weeks, but it definitely starts to cool off and, starts to get that autumn fall feeling, that kind of crispiness in the air. So Edmontonians here, or Albertans at least, take advantage of the summer. Going to the cabin is a very popular thing to do. But yeah, festivals are just like every weekend there's something to go do. Like I mentioned, Heritage Festival, but we have things like art walks and music festivals and other food festivals and just other cultural things that you can engage in. So there's like, jazz festivals or like rock festivals or folk festivals, and other various groups will host their parades and things. So every weekend you can get up to multiple different things. There's always something to see and do, because yeah, Canadians like to take advantage of the summer as much as possible, just because it is so short. And
And then
before you
you
know it,
suffer
it's
for 9 months
we
of the year.
then we're suffering and sad, and then that's when Canadians find reasons to go travel to other places that have nicer weather. As you'll see me doing, like I generally don't take vacation time during the summer here, because again it's short and there's no reason for me to leave, because it's nice. So I might as well enjoy summers here as much as I can. And then you'll see me and a lot of other people will take vacation
Escape.
and like escape in the fall or the winter time. So that's
Oh,
typically when I go to Japan, I'll typically go like late fall, early winter, or I'll wait until like late winter, early spring is typically when you'll see me in Japan, and avoiding the Japanese summer, which we'll talk about. But yeah, it's nice. The one thing that I really love about summers in Canada, at least especially where I live, Edmonton, is like it's not super north, like it's not Northwest Territories north or Yukon or none of it, but it's northern enough where in the summer, like peak summer, you're getting, the sun rises at like 6 a.m. or maybe even earlier, and then it sets at like, 11 o'clock at night. So you're getting a lot of sunlight, and it feels just, you just want to be outside, and it just, you don't even want to go to bed. Like you'll stay up late, even though like, oh, I probably should go to bed because I got to work the next day. But just having that abundance of sunlight in the summer is just, I really, really love it. And I didn't know it was a thing that I would miss, or even like, it wasn't anything that I thought about growing up as a kid. You're just so used to long summer days and short winter night or days in the winter. But when I moved to Japan and it was getting dark at like 6 p.m., I was like, wait, what? When it's dark at 6 p.m., like what's going on here? It's summertime. Like it should be light till like 10 or 11. Like this is so weird. So that was actually like a decent adjustment for me to get used to, going to more, a southern location as opposed to being more in the north.
In the
So
Arctic Circle.
yeah. Okay, I'm not that far north, but
I know.
other places like in northern Canada, like I'd mentioned, in the Northwest Territories of the Yukon or Nunavut, like in the summer the sun never really sets during its peak. It kind of just goes to the horizon and then it starts going back up again, so you won't really see the nighttime per se, which I have experienced a little bit when I went to Iceland. But anyways, summer in Canada is short. It's nice. I mean, like everything with climate change, it's changing.
Definitely
But
in Jamaica
it's
as well.
really, just worldwide. But just growing up, it was always fun to just hang out outside, be with your family and friends, go to these festivals, just up to regular shenanigans, just seizing the day essentially, and just doing as much as you could, knowing that as you would like to bother me, we're just going to be stuck inside for 9 months of the year, playing video games, or whatever other hobbies you have. I mean, there's lots of things to enjoy about winter, and we've talked about that before, but
It's hilarious because you mentioned playing video games. Because when I moved to Japan, I moved from somewhere southern going up north, and you moved from somewhere northern coming down south to Japan, air quotes. And you mentioned about like being shocked that the days are so short. And I was a bit shocked that the days were maybe an hour or two longer of
Oh, they're
daylight.
actually longer. Oh.
Compared to summertime in like the longest days here in Japan, you could ha still have sunlight or it could still be bright out up to 8 p.m. While in Jamaica, that's not possible. And funny again, you mentioned about video games because like with these kind of statistics that these like video game places like PlayStation, Steam, Nintendo shows you like how often you play video games, like it's definitely connected to the temperature outside for me too. So in the summertime and the warmer weather, I'm outside more, I'm doing more things, I'm socializing, so my video game time goes down, but whenever it gets cold, I'm seeing 10 hours of video games during the winter on average. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm definitely inside lockdown trying to avoid the cold. So I feel you on that one. But
Yeah,
yeah.
my Nintendo recap and my PlayStation recap, because they tell you like how much you've played per month, and like the summer times is like very, very minimal, and then it just starts,
Yeah,
you can see the
October.
gradual increase.
Yeah, October, you're like, okay, November, you're okay, December, January, February, like, okay, I went nowhere. I did nothing but play video games. But it's funny. It's funny. Like the perspective of, where in the world you are moving from when you go to Japan. It's interesting how, moving from south versus north is a different type of experience, summer and other seasons, of course, but we're talking about summer now.
Yeah,
Interesting.
so if I always tell people if they want to come visit, like me where I live in Edmonton, other people in Canada might say something different depending where they live, like if you live in Vancouver or Toronto or the East Coast or somewhere else. But for Edmonton specifically, if I'm saying, oh no, like if people are asking, oh, when should I come visit Edmonton? I would say summertime's like the best time, like June, July, August, September. Those 4 months are generally you're going to hit some nice days. There's going to be lots of things to do, as we were just talking about, like all the festivals. So there's always something to find that you'll enjoy. And if even those things aren't up to your, like you don't want to engage in those activities and you just want to lounge or, sit on a patio somewhere and just have some food and drink or go to the lake, like, summertime's the best just for an all-rounded good experience where I live, I think. And then it becomes a little bit more niche, or not niche, but like when you come visit in the wintertime, or it doesn't feel as easy to do things depending on what that individual likes to do, where I feel like summertime can fit all the boxes for like the most amount of people. So that's my recommendation if you're planning to visit Edmonton or Alberta, and you're not sure, if you've never been there before. Summertime, you can't go wrong with a summertime visit, or a really early fall visit would be my recommendation. So, I think going into our love of Japan and our experience with Japan, we both, I mean, Kirk spent way more time in Japan than I have, and especially in the summer. But what about a Japanese summer? Do you really enjoy? What are some of the things that you find yourself gravitating once you know the calendar rolls around and it's June, July, August? What do you like to do?
Yes, Kelway? Summer in Japan. As I've mentioned, let's just get some of the negative things out of the way quickly. Summer in Japan is extremely hot, humid, and uncomfortable. I know that more now, actually, in my last 2 years in Japan, more so than my first couple of years in Japan. A lot of it was because I was in a very natural countryside, small island in Shimane type area, and I feel like the natural environment kind of sheltered me from the harsh heat of mainland Japan's summer, similar to how you being in Hokkaido was a very different experience from someone who would probably be in Tokyo or Osaka or Hiroshima, where I am now. My first few years in Japan, the summers were not as oppressive and exhausting unless I was traveling to the mainland and I could, you know, usually I'd rent a car, like, I don't know, more than half of the time, 75% of the time when I came to the mainland, I would rent a car because it was just so much more convenient. So I wasn't like drudging through busy, heated areas or stuff, you know, I could always retreat to the car to escape the heat. But some of the good things now I do like about Japan is just Japan really comes alive in the summertime, starts in the spring. But I feel like by the time things get to around June and all the festivals and the fireworks and the seasonal summer themed goods, the longer days, there's just like a charging of the people and energy that that happens. It's like in Jamaica, we don't have like four distinct seasons. So part of my culture shock coming to Japan was not just the seasons themselves, but how it affects the people's moods. So definitely Japanese people definitely start winding down at the end of fall. You know, just like as we were saying, we play a lot of video games and we're indoors more. There's far less socialization and stuff during the winter. But summertime is when everyone is greeting, everyone is happy. There are different opportunities for you to see each other, play sports. When I lived in Shimane, there was always some sports festival of some sort happening almost every weekend. Volleyball, table tennis, baseball, sunahiki, tug of war. There was just always something happening. And I used to always have to kind of keep abreast of all the things that are happening, whether it is in Shimane or things I'd want to travel to. Like I know Matsue has like a boat festival. I forget the correct name now. Every 2 years, there'd be huge musical festivals, fireworks festivals happening all over Japan. I remember going to Shikoku to enjoy that as well. If you're in Japan in the summer and you have a driver's license or can get an international driver's license, I recommend renting a car and leaving the main areas that are super hot and super crowded. The Kyotos, the Osakas, the Tokyos, the Nagoyas, avoid those places in the summer and rent a car and go to some place like Shikoku. I cannot recommend Shikoku enough. I snuck away there during COVID times with a couple of my friends and I really want to go back. And this past June, during my time at, I went to Hokkaido to present my research at Hokkaido University. I fell in love with Hokkaido, which is hilarious because I used to always tease Aaron about Hokkaido.
You're always being a hater.
I always tease him about most things, but like, to be honest, Hokkaido is amazing. Hokkaido is a vibe. I fell head over heels with Hokkaido this past June and I really want to go back to enjoy it more on my own terms. I had like one full, maybe a day and a half to enjoy Hokkaido, and I was only in Sapporo, but yeah, I just woke up and I just walked and enjoyed myself for the entire day. There was always something to see. The museums, the flower festivals were happening, the food, oh my God. So yeah, Shikoku and Hokkaido, awesome places to explore during the summer and avoid the main cities because you will melt, you will burn. Even when I went to Kumamoto, recently for work, part-time job, I wanted to go to like Kumamoto Castle and I had to give up. I felt so sick, so nauseous. I was just like, this heat is just absolutely
Oh,
oppressive.
it does something to you. So terrible. And like you could
Yeah.
drink as much water, and like when your body's not prepared for that heat and like doing that activity, it's just like it just puts you to your knees. It's
Yeah, and
crazy.
it's like from 7 a.m. all the way back to 7, 8 p.m. It's just hot, and there's just this humidity that you are almost swimming through warm air to do everything. Breathing becomes difficult. Hydration is difficult. No matter how much shorts or clothes you're in, you're just like, oh my God, I just want to peel my skin off. It's insane. I still prefer summer over winter, just getting that nudge in there. I'd rather be
What?
very hot than very cold, but
Wait,
it
wait,
is what
wait,
it
wait.
is.
You're saying you prefer a Japanese summer over a Japanese winter?
Yes, that's what I am still saying.
Oh my
I
goodness.
think for,
You're
yeah, I don't care. It's like,
Oh my goodness.
for me, the winter is like the darkness, the sadness, the depression that
I
comes with
guess
the
I'm bathed
cold.
in that. I just don't notice it anymore.
Yeah, it's that's what gets me. I'm used to like a bright, tropical, green
So it's more about the
environment.
light than just
Yeah,
the
the
okay.
light, the people are also not as bright
Yeah.
and social. The environment is brown and sad. You know what I mean? It's not as much opportunities to socialize, etc. But anyway, we're talking about summer. I'll tease you more about winter in another time. But how about you? What was your experience for the summer like? Not only in Hokkaido, but you can start with Hokkaido and generally in Japan.
Yeah, I think bridging off what you said about Shikoku, I never did the driving aspect of it in the summertime. I was there, I guess, like early fall once. Or, yeah, it would have been late summer, early fall. I think it was like September-ish. So I'd say that's still summer. We did a train trip through Shikoku, and that was our first trip ever there. And yeah, that's always been a place that I've wanted to return to, not only because it felt like not as busy as everywhere else that we've been to previously. It just, the vibe was nice. The food was really good. I felt like it was more relaxing, more calm. I felt like it was a very good, it gave you a very good representation of what Japan, like what just like an average Japan is without being so, having like the glossy eyes and just seeing like shiny lights and bright things and technology and just,
It's not so
and while that
touristy and built up, but at the same time,
yeah.
it's quite a different experience. That's why I recommend it so much. It's not about the cute cafes or tall
Yeah,
buildings or
exactly.
nightlife. It's about the food and the people, and it's like it's people going about their daily lives in a regular type of rural, semi-rural environment. There's still the conveniences of
Of course.
Japan, but it's like 1 minute you're in the middle of a city, and then like literally 30 minutes later you're at a beautiful waterfall or rafting down a river. It's amazing.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
just felt like a really good, if you're looking for like a good authentic experience of Japan and seeing a very well-rounded version of it, like Kirk just said, you can get into a city, but you can easily leave that city and be in nature or being something totally different. So I feel like Shikoku does a really good job at doing that. And Yeah, just a place I'd love to go back to. So if you're looking for more information or you just want to, learn more about Shikoku, we can definitely, help you with that. And I just feel
Future
like, yeah.
video podcast
Yeah.
episode. Yes,
Shikoku
Shikoku road trip.
love. You also mentioned like fireworks festivals. I remember going to a few of those while I was in there. Like the summer fireworks festivals are just on another level compared to what I see for fireworks. Like I mentioned earlier, like Canada Day fireworks, which are probably like, I don't know, 15 minutes long max, maybe 20 minutes, but like no longer than that usually. But the summer fireworks festivals I got to go to in Japan were like as long as movies, and they had intermissions, and they had themes, and they were almost like trying to tell a story in the fireworks. And oh man, just the amount of people there and the atmosphere, and just hanging out with friends on a blanket and having snacks and drinks, and just oh man, what a fun time. And if you get a chance to go to a fireworks festival in Japan, like just go, just take it up and just go. Would can't recommend that more.
And a lot of them are free and like in open areas, whether along the coast or in parks or something. So it's like, I remember the best fireworks festival I've ever seen was actually in Izumo. And we were just
Oh,
like
okay.
driving home and we were just stopped on a bridge. And there was this amazing, as you said, fireworks festival telling a story about Izumo Taisha and the gods of Japan going back to Izumo Taisha once a year, and how Japan was like some story about sticking a spear into the ocean and taking it out, and the dripping of the water is what formed, like all of that story I could understand from a
Oh
1 hour long fireworks show.
Yeah,
Amazing.
it's fantastic. I think the only thing we had similar here is I've been to Vancouver in the summer, and I know Vancouver does a really big fireworks kind of festival throughout the summer. I think on a few selected weekends, a different country is represented, and that country kind of tells a story or does the fireworks display in the city. So I got to see that once. But while that was still really cool, I just felt like the Japanese fireworks was just at another level I had never seen before. So really enjoyed that activity while I was there.
Yeah, other than fireworks, what else about summer in Japan as we get to closing out the episode? Sorry for interrupting you so much, but yeah, keep
Oh,
going.
that's okay. I think the other thing I really liked was the Bonodori. It's kind of my first kind of summer festival, I think, that I really engaged in on my first homestay there. My homestay grandma just like came and knocked on my window, was like, let's go. I just had no idea where I was going. And we went to like a park, and that's where I learned how to do one of the dances, or there was multiple dances that I learned that day. I don't remember which ones they were anymore. But I realized the reason why she invited me to go to this festival, the Bonodori Dancing Festival, was that anyone that participated got daikon as a gift. So she just tried to round up people so she could get the daikon from them. So I did my dancing, and then when we were done, I got my daikon, and then she came up to me and just grabbed the daikon from me as her reward.
Nice.
I thought that was hilarious. But since that day, it's always something that I've enjoyed doing. So I remember in Jet, because you arrive in the summer, one of the first festivals was the Bonodori, and I got to participate in that. And then now being back in Edmonton, the Japanese Community Association here has done Bonodori dancing during their Natsumatsuri. And so I tried to engage in that activity then. It's like, easy to learn. There's not a lot of moves, but it's just a nice summer thing to do. And I just look forward to doing that. So I think to sum it up for me, while the heat and the humidity that Kirk had mentioned, like just destroys me, being a Canadian, I'm not used to that heat. And I'm not used to humidity at all. And so I
Weak,
just don't even know how to handle it.
weak.
So I am very weak. I can handle the cold, I guess, on another level compared to the heat. But I know that because Japan's like a very popular place to go right now, and I talk to people that want to go, or their only available window to go to Japan is during the summer because of,
Yeah.
scheduling and whatever looks like. I always just, excited for them, but also just want to, emphasize the fact that summers in Japan are hot, humid, and that you need to take your time. Don't push yourself, drink lots of water, try to do things in the morning or at night, and then during the day, really just take it easy and just kind of go day by day depending on what the day brings you. Because, like you had mentioned, trying to walk up Kumamoto Castle and just, struggling, people can get seriously injured or hurt, or there's deaths every year related to heat exhaustion and whatnot. So really try not to push yourself. So that's kind of just one thing I try to tell people from Canada to going to Japan in the summer, is that they just need to think about that, and then just prepare as much as they can for that heat shift, because our bodies are
Are
just not used
weak.
to that.
Oh,
Are weak.
just kidding. Yeah, you guys
Canadian
are.
summer bodies are weak.
Your stats are more for the cold. My stats are for the heat, and I struggle. So I can't imagine how you guys suffer more in the humidity of the summer heat in Japan. But
Yeah,
yeah.
the last plug I will say right before we head off here is that I never really camped in Canada during the summer. Like, I think I went the odd time with my family or friends, but it wasn't anything I enjoyed. But I went camping in Japan a decent amount of times, and I fell in love with it there, because you're having like a Japanese barbecue or Japanese foods for your camping food, which is awesome. And then the camping sites that at least I stayed at had like an onsen nearby. So you could be having like your fire, or you get dirty during the day or whatever. Like, you feel like if you're having a fire, you get kind of smoky or whatever. And so before you go to bed smelling like smoke, you go to the onsen, have a nice shower, relax, come back to your campsite, go to bed feeling all like warm and just
Nice.
refreshed. And it just was like, oh, I could do camping this way if I can, eat this nice food and have an onsen before I go to bed. This is peak camping for me. So while I still don't camp back home in Canada, when I go to Japan, I would definitely like do more camping. So it's something that I had really fun doing. So that was another fun memory of my summer days in Hokkaido.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's good. It's good to compare Jamaica, Canada, and Japan. Listening or just recording this podcast with you, it's so interesting again on like perspectives and what people are used to in their own countries compared to when they go to Japan. So yeah, very, very nice episode.
Yeah, so I definitely recommend, seeing Japan in all the four seasons.
Yep.
But yeah, just a warning, if you're from Canada or you're not used to, or you live more in the northern part of the hemisphere, just take it easy on yourself if you're there during the summer, and just yeah, don't push yourself too hard and stay safe.
Yeah. I should have mentioned this at the beginning of the episode, and I'll probably mention it at the beginning of the next episode, but the Bon Bon Show now has a website.
Woo-woo!
Yay! So we
Wow.
registered the name bonbonshow.com. And we'll share the email that we can get like feedback and stuff from listeners in the next episode. I want to focus on that a little bit. But yeah, we're looking forward to getting your messages, seeing what topics you want us to talk about, or feedback from episodes and pop quizzes and all kinds of stuff we want to have fun with.
Pop quizzes. Let's go.
Well, what I say. Box pops. Anyway, I can't English now. English is hard. But yeah, thank you so much, guys. This has been episode 11 of the Bon Bon Show. We have been missing in action for a few weeks, but we want to get back on a regular schedule. Thank you guys so much for listening. Aaron, do you want to say anything before we go?
Thanks, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your summer if you're listening to this recently. If not, enjoy the season that you're in. And we'll see you in the next one.
Hopefully it's
Matane.
not winter. Gambatte.
Bye-bye.
Bye bye, guys.